I've never known anyone with a dragon. What does he look like?
Just a plain, ordinary dragon.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Plain, Ordinary Dragon. Another week, another podcast. Today is going to be a fun day, but before we get into it, before we start to talk about plain, ordinary dragons and whatever else may come to mind, I want to take just a minute and stop and say thank you. Thank you to all of you folks out there who have been so kind and so generous with your time to listen to the podcast, to share the podcast in whatever form that may be, whether it's a post on Facebook or whether you sent it to somebody in a text or whether you talked with somebody about it. I just wanted to spend just a minute here and say thank you, not just for sharing, but for listening too, for being a part of Plain Ordinary Dragon. Anytime that you start a new venture, a new project, you're not really sure how it's going to turn out. You have some ideas and you have some thoughts and you have a vision for what you're trying to do, but you never really know if it's going to take the form of success that you think it will, or that you hope that it will, or that you envision that it will. You just never know exactly how it gets to the form that it ultimately takes. I'll give you a good example of that in a minute, but first what I wanted to do is I wanted to say thank you for everything. I'm so grateful because, and I know you've heard me say this before, but time is the most precious resource any of us have in this life. You can't get any more of it. It's unlike any other resource in that way. You know, if you run out of money, guess you can go find a job and get more money, right? If you lose a relationship and it crashes and burns and you have to pick yourself up and all those different pieces and mend them back together, it's terribly painful. It hurts. We hate it. But you can get a new relationship. You can generally find a new relationship. There are things that we learn along the way. And one of the things that I've learned is that time is just so precious. So I wanted to take a minute and say thank you for spending your time with us. You know, the minute that you spend with us, or the 30 minutes or 60 minutes that you spend with us each week, we are so grateful for that because you can't replace it. I can't replace it. We can't get more time. Theoretically speaking, we might be able to eat better and exercise more and extend our time. That's true, but you can't get more of it. You can't go out and purchase it, or you can't go out and work for it. All you can do is make the best of the time that you have. And so we're humbled and we're very appreciative of the fact that you take some time to listen and share and talk about and think about the concepts and the journeys of other people. And your journey too, I hope. I hope it inspires you to think about your own journey and the things that you can accomplish in your life. Yeah, I think that's one of the most important things. So the fact that you spend some with us, I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it. This has been a rough week for me because my wife went on a cruise with her mother and left me with the boys. And so I am actually recording this last minute before editing and getting it uploaded so that it would be available today because everything has been a little in flux. I've been doing things I'm not normally used to, like taking care of both boys 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's the first time I've had to do that. And it was wonderful and it was challenging and at times it was frustrating as those of you who have had or have little ones. My boys are 3 and 8, and the 3-year-old's just about to turn 4, and he is a tornado. He's a little whirlwind and he's super smart, and my older one is also smart and he's so kind, and I have the best kids. We're so lucky. But it was still a challenge because I hadn't really had to do that before in my life. So today, I think we'll talk a little bit about persistence, because I'll be really honest with you. I didn't want to come over here today and get into the studio and record this. I really wanted to just say, nah, everybody will understand when there isn't an episode. They might ask why, but it'll be okay. Maybe I can get it out Tuesday or something like that. Unfortunately, I'm not built that way. I can't blow things off like that. Or fortunately, it may be fortunately that I can't do that. You know, when things are hard, you learn things from them. I do, anyway. When I go through challenges and situations, I learn from them. We all do. Sometimes we take it more personally than we should. I'm the guiltiest of that. Even that being said, our subconscious learns from it. We start to understand from different challenges, situations, and pain that maybe we don't want to do things this way again in the future. This has been a bit of a challenging week for me. There is no doubt, because not only did my wife leave me with the boys on a much deserved vacation. She hadn't been out on a vacation like that by herself where she didn't have to worry about anything since before our oldest was born. So, you know, 8 years is a long time to go. She really needed the recharge, and I'm so glad that she was able to do that. That being said, there were other challenges too. We had an infestation of ants show up, and so I was not only dealing with learning how to care for the boys 24/7 for their every need all the time, I was also battling these ants that had decided to show up. And so it was a bit of a fun show at my house this week for sure, as Daddy was trying to figure out how to juggle everything with the boys, try to declare war on the ants that were invading the house while also not using any harmful chemicals and things that I was afraid might affect the boys and the animals and so forth. The funny thing is that as much of a challenge as this is for me, there are so many people out there, single mothers and fathers, and that deal with so much more than that, right? Like, my situation is more first world problems, all things considered, than it would be for other people possibly in situations. So I guess I say all of that to say this: it's been a little bit of a challenging week in my world for me because it was different. So I thought, you know, this is a good time to make sure that I put my voice out there and say, hey, look, persistence is important. Which leads me to the quote from President Calvin Coolidge that is one of my favorite in this world. And it goes like this: nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. That has been one of my favorite quotes for so long. I think the first time I read it was in a book that my dad had at the house back when I was in junior high or high school, I think it was. I think it was Bartlett's Quotes or something along those lines. I'm not sure of the exact. It was a big book. It was like what you would expect an encyclopedia would be, and it just had all of these great quotables in it that you could read and gain little bits of experience from, and I loved it. And that was in that book, and I always took it to heart, because I always thought, you know, I may not be the smartest kid in the class, I may not be the smartest guy in the room, but that may not be the end all be all of it. You know, I may not be the most talented person in the world. I can tell you that after years of trying to figure out who I am and what I do and where my talents lie, and having little success with it, I learned that I'm very good at a little bit of everything and not so great at deep level on anything in a lot of ways. Jack of all trades, master of none is the saying. Now, I don't buy that as the end all be all. You can find certain things that you're able to really delve into and get into and think about, and they excite you to a degree. I find that I can delve into a topic very deeply for a short period of time, learn a lot about it, and understand a lot about it, and then it doesn't interest me as much. I think that's one of the reasons why I never really got into coding computer programs, because I was never really into the depth of that. Like, I got the idea, you know, I got the high level philosophy on how those things worked. I understood, you know, that you had loops, and I understood I could read code, kind of understand what it did here and there to a degree, but I never really understood it enough to be able to seriously debug it. I never understood it enough to really be able to understand everything that it's saying, although I could pick out patterns and try to understand what those patterns did. But I was just never interested enough to be able to go about actually writing my own code, at least past, you know, what you do as a teenager. You know, when I was a kid, the computers were far less advanced than they are today. And so, you know, the things that we could do in writing computer programs were like, you know, Bob opens the door or say hello, and it would repeat hello across the screen. You know, it was very minuscule compared to what coding is done today with object oriented stuff and so forth. So for me, being able to understand high-level concepts have allowed me to kind of flow through my life, understanding and being able to talk with people, being able to discuss basically things that are important to me, like philosophy, with people who understand things at a much deeper level than I do. And you can see that in a lot of these interviews when we start talking about things. You know, when we start talking about music, like if you listen to Donnie Lee's episode, then you understand that he knows music and mathematics at a very intimate level, much more intimate than I know those topics. I write songs and sing songs and play them and so forth, but I don't have the degree of or depth of knowledge that he does. I've spent a lot of my life being lucky to surround myself with people that really do understand things on a very deep level, so that I can understand things at a deeper level than I would have if I was there on my own. And that may be true for all of us to one degree or another. But I've, for instance, been very, very lucky in that the people that I tend to hang out with, that I learn from, especially in the music world, were people that were far more talented than me, far more talented than me. Everything that I did in my music life was through hard work and you know, spit and shine. And I mean, it was not pretty and it was not good and great and phenomenal. There were some turns of phrases that I'm very proud of, and there are some tunes that I'm very proud of, but I worked really hard for them. And I feel like in my life that a lot of my success, and if we will, here are some air quotes, I'm going to use air quotes like Perry did, my street cred, if you will, comes from being accepted by a community that already has that credibility because they understand things at such a deep level. That's never really been me for most things. There are some things that I find I gravitate to more naturally. Those things are more interesting to me, so I delve a little bit deeper in them. You know, communication and the way that people interact with each other and being able to have empathy and compassion for people, those are my strengths. And I understand that now. It took me a long time to understand it. It took me a long time to understand I was what they call an empath. I was somebody who had has a high level of empathy. And I have a tendency to take on the feelings of those around me to a degree that it can be very detrimental, and you don't know why if you don't understand how those things work. But those types of things are my strengths. Now, you know, music isn't really my strength. Lyrics aren't really my strength. One of my friends said, Elliot, I think you are probably, if I was going to grade you, it would be a B for your lyrics and a B for your guitar playing and a B for your songwriting. So, you know, I was solidly above average in his idea. And he was a really phenomenal artist, and I really appreciated the feedback. Now, where am I going with all this? What I wanted to try to illustrate was the fact that I started playing guitar about 18 years old. It was due to heartbreak. I'd had my heart really broken, and it was in a million pieces. I was trying to find a way to put it back together again, and I didn't really know how to do that. I didn't understand how to do that, and music kind of helped me through that. I wrote a lot of songs and expressed a lot of emotion. They were terrible songs. Like, you know, I'm embarrassed of them today to some degree, except for I realized they were the beginning of me being able to express myself in a manner that could connect with other people. But when I was 18, I was trying to put the pieces back together, and I got a guitar, and I just basically got a Bob Dylan chord book and got three chords that I knew how to do, and then started adding more along the way and just poured my heart into it. I didn't really learn anything. Like, I didn't learn technique. I didn't learn those things. But I kept at it. I did it for, well, let's see, a little bit over 27 years now. Now, I should be a whole lot better than I am when it comes to the quality of my writing. But I never really focused on it enough to do that. I have full confidence that if I'd really delved into it and just kept with it, I would be so much better than I am now, because practice makes perfect. But I persisted. I continued to play. I played in front of anybody that would let me, you know, play in front of them, anybody that would listen. I would play in front of my parents. I would play in front of my family. I would play in front of my friends. Luckily for me, my friends were nice enough that they didn't throw me out. Luckily, I had friends that were very supportive and understood that even though I sounded terrible and I was really bad, we could still express things together. They understood. And so we did a lot of kumbaya and song circles and things along those lines. And as time progressed, you know, I got better. And then I was lucky enough to record some of my songs, and I've got those now. I never released them publicly. That was never the idea. That was not what it was supposed to be about. I think I slipped a CD to Matthew Ryan one time just to kind of get feedback, but then we kind of lost touch. I never did really get much of that. That being said, today people will tell me that I'm a pretty decent guitar player as far as rhythm goes. And people will tell me that I actually have a pretty good voice and things along those lines. And the only reason is because I persisted. I knew I wasn't the most talented. I knew I wasn't the smartest. I knew I wasn't the most educated. Now, don't get me wrong. I tried to educate myself a lot. You know, I tried to do what I could with my talent, and I tried to be smart about the things that I did. Had I taken stock of my talent and my intelligence and my education at the very beginning of this journey, at the very beginning, I would have never, ever written a song, and definitely have never written one that I'm proud of. There was a day many years ago where someone very close to me died, and we had been friends, and we had both kind of had a crush on one another, even though I don't think either one of us really realized it at the time. I had written a song for her. She really enjoyed it. I don't know if I ever got to play it in front of her in person. I recorded it and gave it to her. And I talked with her family after her untimely demise. And one of her sisters told me that anytime a boy would come in to date her, she would always lead with that cassette that I had recorded for her and say, "Hey, this guy did this for me. Can you live up to that?" I was like, wow, I really missed the boat. Really missed the boat on that one. But here's the thing, is that song was written to communicate a feeling and an emotion, and I gave it to her, and it communicated that very well, as I understand it. The song wasn't finished, and I didn't realize that, because that song was an expression of how I felt about her. And then when she passed away, I was able to finish the song. See, I didn't understand the song wasn't finished until she passed away. And then the final part came out, and it was perfect. If I had taken stock early on in my journey of music and musicianship and all that, if I'd taken stock and went, you know what, I'm 18, I'm way too late to the game to start this, I should go a different route. I shouldn't try to learn how to write music and sing songs, and I should just let it go, because it's too late. I'm not talented enough. If I had done any of those things, if I had let those feelings and what we today call in the self-help area, imposter syndrome, if we were to talk about that, that's what we call it. If I was to let imposter syndrome get me down and realize I could never do that in any way that meant anything, I would have stopped. I wouldn't have continued. And I wouldn't have been able to communicate what I wanted to communicate to people. Then also have the ability to express myself in a way that was healing to me and to other people if I had stopped that journey. If I had cut that journey short and said, I'm just not good enough, I'm just not talented enough, I need to let this go and pursue something different, I'll never make it as a singer-songwriter, then that exchange would have never happened. And that's sobering. I mean, it's sobering to me because I know that that had an impact on her life, on her family's life, on the guys who dated her, their lives. And it had a profound effect on my life as well. And this isn't something that I'm actually really good at either, right? Like, this is just one of those things that I do that kind of make me who I am. I love music. I'm in love with music. It's been my best friend for as long as I can remember. It's gotten me through all the heartbreaks and all the good times. And I've been lucky that it's been such a big, beautiful part of my life. But it's not what I do best. It isn't even really close, in my opinion. But it was powerful. And not only in that moment, I can give you another example too. When I met my now wife, I had already written a song that I thought was, what would we call that? My signature song. That's what we used to call it back in the day. This is my signature song. This is the one everybody loves. You know, it's the Like a Rolling Stone by Bob Dylan, you know, that those are linked together as a signature song of his, even though he has plenty more, right? But I had written a song called Love and Regret. And I wrote it after a bad breakup. And I didn't really write it about that breakup part. I mean, it was definitely influenced by it. I didn't write it because of the relationship. I wrote it to heal from the relationship. It's interesting because the lyrics of Love and Regret, and I really didn't intend for this podcast to kind of go this direction, but I think that's probably where we'll go today. I'm just going to tell you a little bit. I'm going to be vulnerable and tell you a little bit from my life to hopefully inspire a little bit on your side, but it wasn't where I was originally going. This song was called Love and Regret, and in the very last verse of the song, it talks about a breakup, and it's very visceral, and it's for me very emotional when I play it. And in the third verse, the last verse of the song, we come to understand how the hearts were ripped apart and the damage that was done not only to our relationship, but to all the people around us, the collateral damage that happened, you know, the war zone that the end of that relationship was. I played it for a next door neighbor, and ironically enough, and this was before I met my wife, ironically enough, this girl from the apartment over, I wrote the song when I was living in Austin, Texas. I was there with my brother and I and my cousin and a friend of mine. We were all living in this two-bedroom apartment and trying to make ends meet in Austin, Texas. And there were a couple of girls that lived across the way in the apartment next door. And they would come over and visit and so forth. And I would play the songs that we wrote and stuff like that. And I played this one, and this one girl just went to tears. And she just looked at me and she's like, "Did you write that about me?" No. She's like, you didn't write that about me. No, this is, you know, as much as I hate to say it, you know, I'm the center of my world. I just wanted your feedback, see what you thought. Well, unbeknownst to me, she had just been in the midst of a relationship with a married man and had split up that family. And I think she was pregnant with his baby now. And it was just this big mess and so forth. And so it was able to impact her in a way that she was able to understand the damage that she had done or that their relationship had done to the people around them. And again, I'm not condemning her and her actions. I'm just trying to illustrate how powerful things can be in our lives to other people when even we ourselves don't think of them as powerful or important. That's not the end of this story with this song, because this is another song that I didn't realize wasn't finished. It wasn't until after I met my wife that I was able to finish the song. Because the very last lyric in that song has just a slight twist to it of hope. Anything I ever write always has a grain of hope that comes through it in one way, shape, or form or another. Sometimes people don't get it. I remember the first time that I took the album that I recorded and let a friend listen to it, and he didn't say anything about it after a week, and after 2 weeks went by, and after a month went by, I was like, hey, man, what'd you think about the album? You never gave me any feedback or anything, you know, not this sucks or this is good or, you know, nothing like that. Or I enjoyed it or whatever. I didn't get any of that feedback at all from him. And he said, no, Elliot, it's good. It's really good. It's just so depressing. It's just so depressing. And I was like, really? That was not the way I saw it. But, you know, when I went back and looked at it, I was like, oh, yeah, that is pretty depressing stuff for sure, because that's what I was going through at the time. And for the right person, I'm sure that resonates. And I've been told it does. So I'm so glad I was able to do that. But at the end of this song, Love and Regret, and you know what? I'm going to go ahead and include this song in the podcast for you guys. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I've never released any of my music before. I've never put it online. I've never set it out there for the world to see, but I will go ahead and do that on this podcast and include it. Now, I never recorded the version after it was finished, so I'm going to tell you that the last line of the song is not what it ends up when you listen to it. So we'll take a minute and listen to the song, and then I'll tell you how it changed at the end. Here's the song I wrote. It's called Love and Regret.
Here's to love, here's to regret. Here's to lovers who haven't met. And here's to you, a love I haven't found yet. Here's to daylight, moonlit walks at night. Here's to the sunrise, I see in your eyes. Here's to the mountains that rise above. Here's to finding everlasting love. Here's to the future, here's to the past, here's to building something that I hope will last. Here's to friends, some lost and gone. Here's to the a love I haven't found yet. Here's to a moth who seeks out the flame, and to wild hearts that just can't be tamed. Here's to the lonely nights where I'll be calling out your name. Here's to nothing ever being the same. Here's to all the loves I've left behind, and to the broken hearts that twisted my mind. Here's to pleasure, and here's to pain. Here's to our life that still remains. And here's to love, here's to regret. Here's to lovers who haven't met, and here's to you, a love I haven't lost yet. Here's to breaking a marriage apart. Here's to you spitting on my faithful heart. Here's to his children left out in the cold, because you both just wanted someone different to hold. Here's to you, complete me. Here's to me trying to make you whole. Here's to our children, one gone and the others will never know. And here's to love, here's to regret. Here's to lovers who haven't met, and here's to you, a love I can't seem to forget. A love I haven't found yet. A love I haven't lost yet.
I hope you enjoyed that. The very last line should be, and here's to someone I've just met. And that's how the song's sung today. I never got to go back into the recording studio and fix it, so I just had to let you listen to the original recording of it before I knew it was finished. But here's the thing. That meant so much to my girlfriend at the time and now my wife, to understand that her impact on my life was so important that I was able to finish a song based on my relationship with her, based on the hope that I saw with her and with our relationship. Now, I want to bring this all full circle, because honestly, this podcast really isn't about me. It's just about some of the stories, some things that have happened to me throughout my life to illustrate a point. And that point is, had I never taken the time to learn how to be a songwriter, to learn how to fashion a lyric, to learn how to turn a phrase, to learn how to strum a guitar, none of that would have ever happened. And those are impactful moments on people's lives. So I want to challenge you to think about it for yourself. Are you being persistent with a love of yours? Whether it's a particular piece of art. Maybe you love to paint. Maybe that is what lights your soul on fire, but you suck at it. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm going to quote one of my friends. His name's Aaron Tower. We were in high school together. We were best friends through a lot of our life, and we're still very good friends, even though he lives in Alaska and I live in Alabama, thousands of miles away. And I may have told the story before on the podcast. I can't remember if I have or not, but I want to tell it here. Aaron was one of those guys that I forced to listen to me play music. He was so nice to listen to it, even though I was terrible. I mean, I was bad, guys. At the time, Aaron told me this brilliant piece of thought, this thought process of his, this idea, this theory of his. And it really is brilliant in a lot of ways. It's something I've taken throughout my life and really hung on to, because I think there's so much truth and brilliance in it. I was so bad. You know, I was playing two chords. Like I played Bob Dylan's Masters of War, because it basically had an E minor and a D chord, and that was it. And I could learn those two and switch between them. I mean, that's how bad I was. But I had written some original stuff, and I asked Aaron to critique it for me. Now, and I was a drama major in college, so getting criticism in some ways is like a form of lifeblood to an artist, because you use that feedback to better your craft. You know, maybe the criticism doesn't matter. It does to the person making the art, because it gives us a way to see our art through other people's eyes. And that can be really helpful in some respects. It's never helpful if it stops you or changes you from doing something because of the criticism, because it's harsh or something along those lines, or it didn't accomplish exactly what you wanted it to, because that's really not what art is about. It's not about doing something to manipulate somebody else. But I had played this tune for Aaron, and he said, and I'll never forget, I asked him, I said, well, what do you think of that song? And he looked at me, just, I mean, plain as day, and said, it really doesn't matter. And that's all he said. I was like, hey, man, can you go ahead and expound on that? Can you explain that to me? What do you mean? He said, Elliot, it doesn't matter what I think. It none of that matters. All that matters is what you think and how it makes you feel. It doesn't matter what I think. And I thought about that for a long time. For a while, I thought it was complete and total BS. And then as I started to wrap my brain around it, I realized he was spot on, that art is an expression of oneself. Art is an expression of who you are. And you're sharing it with the world. You're becoming vulnerable and saying, this is part of who I am, and I'm going to put it out there on display for everybody to see. And if you feel the same way too, well, I'm raising my hand to say you're not alone. Now, it took a lot of years to flesh that out and make it that concise. But that's what Aaron was saying. He was saying that art is intrinsically valuable. What you do is intrinsically valuable. I think we've talked about this before. Art is not just painting and pictures and music. That's what we conceptualize as art to begin with. But as we've said before, computer code is a beautiful art form, or it can be. There are so many things. If I take a look at Scott Jurek, for instance, who is a long distance, like 125-mile runner, like he does those long distance runs, and he beats everybody. If you ever get a chance, you should definitely read Scott Jurek's book, Eat and Run. It's phenomenal. He's world class at what he does. The thing about it is he just keeps going. He just doesn't stop. He wasn't the fastest. He was just able to gut it out more than other people. Amazing. And without his story, you know, if he had decided, well, you know, I'm not the fastest, so I'm probably not going to be able to do this, and just let it go, he wouldn't have inspired so many people to do so many things. But that is an art form. That's what I'm getting at, is that that's an art form. It's not a tradition. It's not what we traditionally think of as art, but not everything is, you know, not everything is, has to be traditionally, you know, a traditional art form. You know, I think that it's a beautiful art to be able to raise children. I mean, that's amazing, right? I mean, and I had my own taste of that this week. It was not just hard work, but you know, there are moments when you're dealing with 3-year-olds where it's kind of touch and go. If you get it right, you know, then you're good. And if you just get it slightly wrong, things change so fast. You know, it's an art form. Communication is an art form. And so when you do anything, when you start any journey, when you go down any path, realize, please take stock and realize, it is not about being the best. Kathy Heller likes to say, it's not Beyonce or bust. And she is 100% right. It's not Beyonce or bust. It's you or bust. What do you have to give to the world? What do you want to put out into the world? Whatever you do, and if you do it badly, that's not a bad thing, because when we first start doing anything, we're not good at it. Not generally. And if we are, then we probably should have been doing it a lot sooner. I probably should have been doing this podcast years ago, but things held me back. I held myself back with limiting beliefs. I'm not anymore. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because of the feedback that I've had from this podcast, I know we're doing good things in the world. I know we're doing good things. We're putting voices into the world that might not otherwise be heard. And that is so important. Why? Because hopefully, and I know because I've talked with people after the podcast came out. I've talked with other plain ordinary dragons that have started to take that on as their motto, as their concept. Yeah, I might be plain and I might be ordinary, but I'm a dragon and I can do amazing things, things that you have never seen, things I've never seen. I can do them because I am strong and I am powerful. That's what we want for this podcast. We want to inspire. We want to let you know persisting is the key. Any of you remember that movie? What was it? It was the Galaxy Quest. In there, you know, their motto was, you know, never give up, never surrender. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't walk away from projects when they've run their course. Maybe you should. That's for you to decide. But understand that it's important to take your journey where you feel it needs to go, regardless of the outcome. I'm not saying everybody go out and quit their jobs and start painting and joining hippie communes. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And if there are any hippie communes out there, you know, that would like to have me, please let me know. What I am saying is that there is something inside of each and every one of us, an ember, a spark, something that we want to chase, something we want to do. Maybe we want to write a manuscript for a movie. Maybe, you know, we want to do that and we want to be successful. Maybe we want to write it and we want to try to get it in, actually be a movie. You know, I think my dad told me years ago that one in every 10 movie manuscripts gets looked at. And, you know, one in every 10 of those gets made, or whatever the number may be. And so he said, if you want somebody to look at your manuscript, write 10 of them, because one of them, odds are, will get looked at. And if you want to get it made into a movie, write 100, because the odds are that one of those will get made as a movie. It's never what we think. I remember when I listened to an interview by Uncle Cracker, and they had a really big hit. I forget the name of it, but you can Google it if you want to. And it was actually about, it was their big hit. I think it was about an affair of some sort or something. Anyway, I was listening to an interview by Uncle Cracker talk about it. You know, what the guy said was, you can't pick your hits. This is not one of the songs that we think is one of our best, and it's not one that we would have guessed would ever have made it big, but it was our hit. And you don't get to pick your hits. And I found that really interesting because I've seen it on this podcast too. Like I've done a number of podcasts now and a number of interviews. I've interviewed people, and the interviews that I thought would be the most downloaded and most loved and so forth haven't performed nearly as well as some of them that I thought this is going to be a little dry. You know, when you sit in the interview room and you're talking with people, you kind of get a sense for how it's going and so forth. But one of the things that I haven't been able to put my finger on is which ones are going to be the ones that people really latch on to. You don't get to choose those things. You don't get to choose what the ultimate success is going to be. All you can do is focus on your process. You know, if you listen to great football coaches, I think right now, I think it's pretty undisputable that the best football coach in all of college football is Nick Saban. It pains me and my Gators intensely, but it's true. And I don't know that anybody can argue that. And if you listen to Nick talk about things, what is he always talking about? He's always talking about process. He's always talking about how can we do things better? How can we improve what we do? Not what is anybody else doing? Not what is the outcome? We trust that the outcome will be what we want it to be in some form or fashion if we keep our head down and follow our journey. If we go down that path, then we can actually see what the outcome is down the road. And the more we do it, the better we get, and the better the outcome becomes. So I just wanted to take today to encourage you, be persistent. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. It's one of the greatest quotes I've ever read in my life, and I hope that it's one of your favorites. Understand, persistence is the key. Determination is the key. Not necessarily the key to becoming rich and famous and so forth. I think Marie Forleo says, success leaves clues. It's true. They're out there, and we can see the clues, but a lot of times we think that those are clues for other people, and they're not. They're clues for us. How do we live a better life? How do we do something that we have purpose in? I mean, that's what Perry said last week when we talked with Perry, right? He said, you don't have to go out and quit your job, but find something that gives you purpose. And when you do that, you'll find pieces of happiness. Yeah, he's got it right. You know, what did Donnie Lee say in his episode? You know, he said, hey, look, if you're not doing what you love, you better either learn to love what you're doing or you need to find something else. Because whatever it is that gives you purpose is going to bring you happiness. You know, we all talk about chasing happiness, and it's just a feeling, everybody. It's just a feeling. Happiness is just a feeling. Just like sadness. They come and they go, but if you have purpose, if you have determination and persistence, then you find more happiness because you have a reason for what you're doing. When they do all the surveys and they talk to all the people, who are the happiest people in the world every single time? The Amish. Every time. Why? Because they have purpose in their lives. They don't have fast cars. They don't have cars. Or TVs. They don't vaccinate their children. They don't take them to hospitals. But they are consistently the happiest people. Why? Because they have purpose. Let's look at another example. Let's take Nazi Germany. You know, when Hitler came in and changed their economy around, those people found purpose in a really jacked up message. You know, the message sometimes doesn't matter. It should. And I am in no way condoning it. Not that message. Not in any way, shape, or form. But think about how many people were willing to go to war, world domination, to further a message they believed in. They had a purpose. They believed they were doing God's work. They believed they were doing the work that they were put here to do. The rest of us didn't believe that. And ultimately it came crashing down. But the point is not the message. The point is the purpose. And when you understand that you find that purpose, when you understand that, and you start looking for a purpose, what is my purpose? What do I want to do? Who do I want to serve? Who do I want to help? And how can I help them? You find more happiness. Now, I know some people probably say that the Nazi example is insane, and maybe it is. Maybe it is. But I'm fascinated by large groups of people buying into messages that sometimes seem crazy. Why do they do it? Why do they follow? Why do people follow gurus the way they do? Purpose. If you can find a purpose and then find the persistence and determination to follow that purpose through, you're going to find your life is so much better. Let's take another example before we call it a day. Let's take a look at the single parent of any gender. Look at how hard they work to provide for their child or children. That is their purpose. They have that purpose. And it's front and center, and they know where they're going. I remember it was years ago, I was interested in dating someone who was a single parent. We were talking about different things and relationships and so forth. I was speechless at her complete purpose being nothing but that child. That was her purpose in life, was that child. Period. Relationships, all the back burner. It's just, yeah, I could have a relationship, but if it in any way, shape, or form hindered the way that I am trying to bring this child up, it's not important enough to me. It's really not even important enough to me to think about. And if it wasn't for the fact that, you know, we have a pretty strong relationship and we're talking about this being a possibility, I wouldn't even entertain it. And so it's interesting. It's interesting what purpose can allow us to do. Anyway, I could go on and on with examples. We can take a look at the modern day churches. We can take a look at different, you know, political action committees. We could look at all of these different things that have purpose, help people stay on a path where they feel like they're doing something important. They gain happiness from that, even if they're in the worst of all possible scenarios. Persistence, dedication, determination. They're all words that we throw around, but if you can really grab onto those meanings, if you can find your purpose and apply those to them, well, my friends, everybody's going to see just what kind of a dragon you are. They're going to see you. You're going to be seen. And when people ridicule you, people that are not in the arena, as Brené Brown would say, those people that ridicule what you're doing, that criticize, understand that that criticism should be praise in your ears, because they're not willing to get out there and be vulnerable like you are. And when they do, they would never criticize someone on their journey. Everybody's journey is different, but like I've said a ton of times, you may be plain and you may be ordinary, but you're a dragon and you can do amazing things. Thank you all for the time today. Thank you for listening. I really, really appreciate it. Just a quick note on the giveaways. Everybody that won a giveaway is being contacted directly, and we'll be working out a way to get you whatever your gift was. So if you have any questions about that, as always, feel free to email me at plainodragon@gmail.com. Or, of course, you can go over to plainordinarydragon.com and contact us that way through the contact form. You know, there's no shortage of doing it. You can get on Facebook. We've got a Facebook page. We've got a group where we discuss the podcast. Or I say where we discuss the podcast. The group hasn't grown a whole lot, so there hasn't been a lot of discussion. But you can change that if you want to show up and start talking about it. So once again, shout out to everybody that's helped us spread the message, spread the gospel of Plain Ordinary Dragon, the gospel of you, the gospel of others, the gospel of empathy, gospel of compassion and determination and persistence. Thank you. Thank you for it. And remember, folks, you might be plain, you might be ordinary, but you're a dragon, and I can't wait to hear your roar. Hear my-